What is the deal with One Tree Hill? I don't understand it. It's like a poorly executed Dawson's Creek. Why are they doing that? Don't even get me started on Chad Michael Murray. It's too late. I'm going to start. He has dead eyes. You know that's right. It's episode 5. No, it's episode 16, season 5. That's the second week in a row I've messed that up. We are a little bit off the rails here.
It's okay.
Already, but it was a good open of this podcast and of Psych, and it starts right when I pull up the open, which is right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
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 And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joe, riding shotgun in the blue bear with me, as always, is the bicep curling, leg pressing, deltoid popping, woo! Protein shake drinking, kettlebell swinging, tire flipping, son of a gun, and he's having a hard time keeping those alligators down. Woo! Billy, my man, how's it going?
Hello, it's going well. You know, I think we're both busy men, but we're back 2 weeks in a row, Doc. How about that?
We are. And look at this. I see the Stein here from Idle Hands, right, from Oktoberfest, five-time champ. This is for Brown and Coke, baby, so we're going to be flying high, baby.
Is it really? Okay.
Oh, it sure is.
Look at you. All right, I just got water tonight.
Yeah. We're flying. We're flying. So we are here. We have finally reached the finale of season 5, one of the better seasons of the series. And this is season 5, episode 16, Yang 3 in 2D. And before we dive in, Billy, before we get too far into the weeds and forget our process, let's remind the people what the process of our show is.
It starts with a holla, ends with a cream skull, and if there's time between a little Thundercats.
Ho!
Ho!
So this is a weird episode for me because overall I love the trilogy and the finales, but this is definitely, William, the weakest one.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Quick synopsis. A woman tells the police she was kidnapped by Yin. They do not believe her, but Sean does. When she is missing again, Sean and Gus think she has been kidnapped again. This is a really lazy synopsis. Yang is released from the psychiatric prison to help find them. They could have tightened that up a little bit. That was not great.
Yeah, TikTok, they don't stop. Spencer, yeah. Burton, boots around the clock.
So upon rewatch, because one of the things I like to do around Halloween, William, is watch the Yang trilogy because I can't handle some of the harder horror stuff. But I do like watching this around then because it's fun. The first two episodes, I think, are great, with the first one being excellent. But this is the first time that I've watched this particular episode sort of with a fine-tooth comb. And Psych is not usually known for their plot holes. There was fucking plot hole after plot hole after plot hole in this episode. Oh, well, we lost Billy. We can't hear his voice. Can we hear you now, William?
Yeah, maybe.
There he is.
I don't know what's going on. I'm going to stop touching the mic. I have a habit to touch the mic, and I think that's what's doing it. So we'll stop there.
You touch it too, you go blind. So
yeah. No. smack the hand away. But smack it, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no. But yeah, plot holes everywhere. And you know we love Sean's mom. But acting-wise, not a tour de force. I mean, there's nothing you really do, but
and
kind of stinks.
She does kind of stink, but I'll tell you what, there's someone else who stinks even worse, and that is the actress who plays Alison Crowley.
I think she's not likable. I didn't think she was the worst actress.
I've always felt this way. This is not like a nitpick for me sort of rewatching this with a fine tooth comb. I've always felt that she was the weakest part of this episode because I never believed her once. And we have two cases of overacting in this episode, one by her and two by one of the other guest stars. Whereas I think RoboCop does it wonderfully. His overacting as Yin, I thought, was hilarious and on point and worked really well. With hers, it was just, oh, she's lying. She's up to no good. I don't trust her right from the get-go. And it's just the way she delivered her lines, the way she, I just, she really like brought
you don't like her. For me.
Not one bit. And I will state that many. I don't think she's a bad actress, but she was not good in this episode.
Fair enough. I did like her in the movie too. I didn't really have a problem with her performance, other than like maybe she was miscast. I felt like she almost had the evil look to her, where I would have preferred her be a little bit sweeter, and then you would have seen it coming less. But I also I'm contradictory in that belief, because when you see the photos of the new Harley Quinn with Lady Gaga, and she looks fucking crazy. Like, she doesn't look put together. Like, even Harley Quinn in, like, you know, the animated stuff and like the movies, it's played by Margot Robbie. Her makeup's perfect. She looks perfect. She's just crazy.
Yeah.
I think if Harley Quinn were a real person, she'd look more like the Lady Gaga version. So I don't mind that this girl has a little crazy behind the eyes, because, you know, she's fucking crazy.
Oh, no, and I would agree. And I would say, actually, the best performance she did in this episode was at the end when she's being hauled away by the cops and she's just sort of looking out of the window. Like, that was perfect.
Yeah,
that the crazy eyes there, like, that was fantastic. But everything up to that point, just for me, was never believable. It really just brought it down a notch, because I don't feel like she had chemistry with anybody other than for like one scene with Henry that I thought was pretty decent. But
and turkeys,
yeah, that was oh, that's not too bad for a toddler. He did that last week. Or last Thanksgiving. But what I did love, because I don't want to harp on that the whole time, but because there was a lot of stuff about this episode I really did enjoy. What I loved, I think one of the things that sort of made this part of the trilogy different than the others was we finally get some of that origin story of Yang, her obsession with Sean. They did a good job with the flashback. It's sort of, you know, hyping that up without giving it away. Which I thought was really good, because that became sort of a bit of a plot point throughout the episode. And when you finally get that reveal, I thought it was really well done. And then again, I loved the ending of this episode, because we got two fantastic reveals that sort of sets up the next season. But then just the overall reveal closing out this episode, closing out this trilogy, I thought was also fantastic.
Yeah, the ending was great. I love Ally Sheedy. Anytime she's in there, she overacts perfectly, fits well into the Psych universe. And, you know, overall, for our overall thoughts section here, and yeah, I've broken out a new counter. I don't know if you've seen that, but
yeah, baby.
I got the fine tooth comb counter at 2. But it was, you know, plot hole filled, but I still had fun. I watched it like 3 times today.
Yeah, and one last thing before we get into it here is I thought Jules was terrific in this episode.
It was one of her
better acted performances on the show. So, director writer, we have Mel Damsh.
You can talk right over that, baby.
No way. I like to let Sounders breathe. Because it takes me by surprise every time, and at this point in our program, it shouldn't. But directed by Mel Damsky, who has directed, we've mentioned his name a few times.
A butt ton, yeah.
Is Mel? I don't know. Mel, boy or girl? I don't know. Doesn't matter. But Mel Damsky did several, 23 episodes in all, and a wide smattering of episodes between ones that are really good and some that are not so good. You know, someone's got a Woody Santa Barbara Town 2, which is one of my favorite episodes.
No Country for Two Old Men and Nip and Suck It.
Mwah. Yeah, yeah.
So, great episodes.
Definitely, I think, gets better towards like the end. You know, I think, you know, Mel got a better feel for the characters. But still some good ones in there. Like we Disco Didn't Die. We enjoyed that. High Noonish. You know, so Feet Don't Fail Me Now. That's an all-time favorite of ours. That's an all-timer. So Mel did a great job. I was kind of shocked. I thought this would have been a James Rodet directed episode, but he did have a part in writing it. He wrote it with Steve Franks and Andy Berman, two familiar names on the writing credit side. And then guest star. We have a few here. So we mentioned Ally Sheedy is reprising her role as Yang. She is excellent. Again, one of the brighter spots of the episode. We have Mina Suvari, who plays Allison. Not my cup of tea. But we won't harp on that too much until we get to the plot holes. Jimmy Simpson as Mary. And I got to tell you what, William, a little peek behind the curtain, get that counter up, baby. May or may not be my favorite, might be my choice for favorite character of the episode.
He was amazing in the short point that he was in. Like his rants and raves, like the Chad Michael Murray thing.
That fucking thing killed
me. That kills me every single time.
The line was just, don't get me started on that.
I'm going to go in. Too late.
I love it. And then when he's in a onesie, like we'll get into all that, man. But it is fucking perfect. It really is. And then lastly, the big guest star here, Peter Weller as
RoboCop.
RoboCop, baby. I thought he was perfectly cast. He played the character. I thought like so over the top with his ascot and just his sort of folksy way of talking, right? A box of Mars bars to you, Sean. Like silly, stupid shit like that was just executed perfectly. So I love Peter Weller. I'm assuming you did as well.
Yeah, he was great. I love the interaction with him and Yang. Fit well again in this world for them to be super crazies, but have that connection. Welcome them back, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we didn't love the girl for different reasons, but, you know, Peter Weller was excellent. And then, of course, Sean's mom was what she was. And then,
yeah, I didn't even bother putting her on it.
Yeah. And then
milk toast.
My father's name was Mary. His father before him's name was Mary. His father before him, his name was Craig. Like nothing is better. It's, and I know we've talked about this before with Jimmy, but like he is one of the most like diverse, deep, like he plays so many different kind of characters from the McPoyles with like, you will call her like to like a very serious guy in Westworld where he's like the main character and super serious. Like he is just such a great actor. I'm blown away every time he's in this, and it's only in the video diary, very Randy-esque from Scream style, like Scream 3, where they bring him into the movie, but it's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, it was a great way to incorporate him into the episode because he has been such a big part of this story. And again, it was executed, you know, to perfection. And like we'll get into it because I wrote a lot of it down, but like every second he speaks, I laugh my ass off because he's like ping ponging around and it's just, oh man, it is chef's kiss. So diving into the episode, we get our first flashback scene, William, in some time. I feel like half the season might have gone by since we last got a flashback scene here with young Sean. And I loved how it was done because a lot of times these flashback scenes, they either sort of they're used as a device to sort of give you a hint at what the episode might be about, or that it's just pure comic relief. But here, like it's done well. The music is done well. It's eerie. Nothing really happens. You just see young Sean riding his bike on a, you know, cold, you know, rainy day. But it's the music here that really sort of clues you in that, you know, this is important somehow. This is going to play a role. You don't know. But it's important. And so then we jump right into present day. Sean and Gus are walking to the station because they've been called in because there has been yet another yin yang sort of you know, related crime. And I love this little, it's just this little back and forth between Sean and Gus where Sean is like, Gus, I've decided when I die, I want to go out via firing squad. And I want to choose my shooters, and I think he chooses a
bunch of old comedy legends.
Yeah, you know, Abbott and Costello, or whichever the fat one is. I got it written down. We could probably go word for word, but he just, you know, Richard Pryor, right? He just names off a bunch of old
George Carlin,
and Gus goes, "That's macabre," or whatever he says. It's like, well, why you got to bring it down like that for it? You know, like it was just such a great, you know, back and forth there. But we get to the station and Sean and Gus are rolling their eyes because the chief is saying we have this woman here named Allison Crowley. She claims to be a victim of yin and yang. And I love that we're at this point now in this story where there's a bunch of wannabes and they go, oh, they're just Yinites.
Yeah, they're assuming that like they're like we have the prior knowledge and they fill us in by saying, oh, you know, me and Sean field one of these Unite calls once a month. And they even have the background of like, you know, they're usually women in their 40s. So it's a very, you know, good little way to get a lot accomplished with just like a sentence. And that's like a lot of the times I think you could fix a plot hole with a sentence. And this was just like an occasion where they did that, but they were kind of lazy in other aspects.
Right. And there's a scene here where they're all huddled around the chief's desk and Sean's, you know, used some candy. And I don't know why, but this fucking cracks me up because it's just a way, it's like physical comedy, like at its most organic, where it just sort of happens. And they probably just kept rolling with it and kept it in there where Sean tosses a piece of candy at Lassie and says, suck it.
This is the first time I ever noticed that watching this episode.
Yeah. And it hits Lassie in the chest and just falls down. Everyone just kind of looks at it like, did he just really fucking do that? And not another word is fucking mentioned, but the way it bounces off Lassie and his look, I cackle. It's just one of those things. It was probably just an ad lib, you know, and it was absolute perfection. But right, as we just mentioned, right, like Sean and Gus are like rolling the right. Even Lassie's like, yeah, this is just another wannabe trying, you know, trying to get their name and get the name in the papers. But Jules wants to believe Allison and she's visibly upset. And
well, at this point, she doesn't kind of want to. Well, she goes on a roller coaster of believing
she
Allison.
Does. Yeah, it is a bit up and down, but you know,
she justifies why she wants it. She wants it for closure at this point. Or at least that's what Juliet thinks.
Right. And she appears to be visibly, you know, upset about it or shaken, right, because of her experience from the last one. And this is what I think Jules does really well throughout this episode is that, and it was some of her best work at the end of last season was, you know, the second Yang episode. And then the, you know, the first episode leading in, you know, to this season where she's trying to deal with that. And that that's her at some of her best. You know, they sit down with Allison in one of the interrogation rooms. And again, Sean and Gus are just like, oh, yeah, whatever, whatever, whatever. You don't fit the typical model of a Yinite. But this is one thing that I thought was great.
The picture.
But also a huge plot hole after I was rewatching and writing these notes. So she's like, fine, you don't believe me. I took this as I was escaping the house. And it's a picture of Sean with Yang. And what's great about this is that it sets up sort of the, you know, the driver of the episode for Sean, like his motivation to really want to, you know, believe her. But then I start thinking about it. I'm like, if this, you know, broad was kidnapped, right? And she somehow escapes, how many people escape from, you know, from Yin, but has the wherewithal and the mindset and the presence of mind to steal a picture while she's escaping? No. You're better than that, psych. You're better.
I didn't mind it. I don't see that as a plot hole. I just see that like as a bridge too far for you.
Well, yeah. So let me tell you, William, if you know you're on a Tinder date, you know, and some lovely lady invites you back to her house, her apartment, wherever, and all of a sudden she goes a little crazy and you know, it's a bad situation. And you're going to escape. You need to escape, right? You feel like your life is being threatened. And you happen to get rid of, you know, get the manacles off your wrists and the gag out of your mouth and get whatever out of whatever. And you're on your way out. You're going to have the presence of mind to steal something, to take something with you so you can bring it to the cops. No, you're going to get the F out of that house.
No, I think this was different. I think, you know, she probably knew who it was.
But why? What was the motivation for stealing the picture?
Maybe she recognized Sean from all the papers and was like, this guy will finally be on this guy will be on the case. I didn't think, like, I think it's just a bridge too far for you. I don't think it's a plot hole.
Yeah, that is, so maybe plot hole.
But, like, it's a good, like, detective on the case. Like, yeah, like, if Sean had thought of that, then he wouldn't have. So I guess that's the plot hole. Sean should have been like, hey, this doesn't seem right.
Right. And then they even say like, oh, we think the picture is a fake and it turns out to be a fake like that. That alone should be enough. To be like, we can't keep trying. So anyways, we'll get to that. So she got the photo. This is what sort of gets Sean to go all in on this case. So they go to, I put this in parentheses here, Yin's house, This is the house that Allison was claims to have been stashed in, kidnapped, brought to the second location. Never go to a second location, Billy. And this scene was actually great. So the police show up, they knock down the door, and there's a fucking family eating dinner. And the look on their faces and the way like that family reacted to that scene, I thought was hilarious.
Yeah, it was great. Poor dad. I mean, I've been watching a lot of Criminal Minds, so this happens to a lot of people, especially like within the first like of any one of these procedural 45-minute shows. You know, like the first suspect they go to in like the first 20 minutes is not going to be the guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like you knew you were in for disappointment when they opened that door.
Yeah.
But it's a good little scene there, and you get some convincing. This is where Jules kind of doesn't believe it because, you know, it's a completely full house of people, but she claims that it was completely different. You rearranged everything and they were away the week before. So it was a good house to pick to set this plot up. But Sean does kind of believe her. She walks him through the house blindfolded to recount all of the, all of the stuff that, you know, she remembers. But Juliet thinks it's a waste of time here. And you think Sean was being a dick. And I just think he misspoke. I think you're just in a bad mood, Doc.
Well, so when I wrote in the note, Sean was being a dick here. He kind of was because he used something against Jules that he knows is very personal for her, right? And I guess it really wasn't being a dick, but like it was a little out of character for Sean. And I think what was great about that actual scene is that like. I know I've been in this situation before. I'm sure you have, where you've said something to someone, and then the moment it comes out of your mouth, you go, "Fuck."
I think that was this.
Say it a different way, right? Mm-hmm. And so you see that on Sean's face, which again it's just like it was just good acting, right? And it was a good scene. But my other nitpick with this is that again, she just happens to have a blindfold on her, and then boom, 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 boom. She's able to sort of pinpoint everything so fast, like mm-hmm. before she like anyone has a chance to breathe. She goes, "This is there, that is there, this is there, that is there." And so you've got that. You've got why does she have the picture? And then like everyone's like Lassie's pissed, you know, because obviously they're gonna be in a shit ton of trouble for busting down someone's door they shouldn't have. But when it turns out, like Lassie goes, "I bet you $10 that picture's a fake," right? Yeah. And when it turns out to be a fake, that should be the moment.
But it's not a fake.
Well, that's the thing, right?
It's not. But it's the he was definitely standing with that woman in that picture.
Right.
So that picture came from Yin.
Right. But it's doctored up. So.
But he was definitely standing in the photo with that lady. That's undeniable.
Well, yes, that is undeniable.
But to me, that's the biggest thing.
Say that again.
That's the biggest part of it is that he's actually in the, that's a real photo. It's just like the background's changed. That's it.
Right.
That's not that big of a deal.
But it's been manipulated. So she's handing
But no, him- but the most important part of it is that it's not manipulated. He was definitely in the photo with that lady.
Right. And I'm not arguing that. That's not the part. The fact that the picture of them was superimposed over another picture, right? The fact that someone got a hold of it and there was some manipulation, that should have been a big red flag.
For what now, though?
Well, she just so happens to claim to be kidnapped by Yin.
Yeah.
He goes to a house that they clearly were never at, using a photo that has in some way, shape, or form been manipulated. Not the aspect of Sean and Yin, but the fact that the picture of them together was superimposed over a different picture. That all three of those things to me add up as in there's something wrong with this woman. We shouldn't trust her. This is fishy.
Nope.
Okay.
Not even a little. Like the fact that it was docked, like she took the fall. Like if I'm like, I get what you're saying because you already have like the knowledge that she is the bad person.
Right.
But, like if not, like it's just a photo like that was photoshopped and printed out. Like we know Yin's a bad guy. Like,
yeah.
But the most important part of that photo is the most important part of that photo that still exists. He was definitely standing next to that woman in that photo.
Right. Which was a great aspect of the show, right? That was a great driver of the storytelling of this episode. What my point is, I didn't find her believable the first time I watched it, and I've never felt it. And so like when I'm watching it now, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm like, there's three strikes against her, right?
Mm-hmm.
That she presented them. She just so happened to steal this picture as she escaped. They get to a house that clearly no one was ever kidnapped in. Because Lassie makes the point, oh, so what, in 24 hours, he removed all the furniture, kidnapped someone, she escapes, and then he's able to put everything back perfectly, and the people who came back were none the wiser.
Mm-hmm.
That's strike two. And then, like, the fact that the photo, again, in some part, was manipulated, right? So, to me, I look at all three of those things, and I go, there's something not right with this girl. Right, it's just she's this.
All right,
she's,
all right. I gotcha.
We don't convince
me.
Okay, all right. But we get a couple of other things here. We get a Christy Swanson mention,
which is great because she's Lassie's wife at a later date.
She's Lassie's wife, and did I ever tell you the story about Mac and I's interaction with Christy Swanson on Twitter?
No.
So it was a few years back. And Mac and I were discussing over Twitter. Christy Swanson did a very tasteful spread in Playboy, and we were talking about it, and she replied, and she wasn't very happy about it. We didn't add her, we didn't tag her, so she must have been searching her name, but yeah, she was not a fan.
What was she happy about?
I don't know. We were very positive. It's a great piece of art, if you ask me. And we were talking glowingly about it, but she did not like that. But that is neither here nor there. We're really getting sidetracked here. So we're gonna move this train along. So the next scene, we get to Henry's, and this is one of the things with Allison that I did enjoy, and I thought Henry was great with his those two seem to have Henry was the person that she had the best chemistry with the entire episode. So they stash her at Henry's house because they're afraid, you know, they're afraid Yin might be after her. And there's this one little line where she's just kind of looking around the kitchen and Henry's grabbing a cup of coffee. He takes a sip and she goes, so are you psychic too? And the way he spits his coffee, I was like, oh,
nope.
I thought that was excellent.
Yeah. I mean, he was not a huge part in this, but I also did like when, you know, when the next scene happens, when she gets taken, he's irate, you know, the whole, you know, he snuck into my house, he's contending with me now.
Yeah. Yeah. Henry was definitely father of the year here. Even though he did let her get kidnapped. His heart was very much in the right place. And I thought he was excellent in this episode.
Oh, absolutely.
So we get a little bouncing back and forth here between Henry's house, you know, in the station. So this is where we find out now that the crime tech nerd, I thought he was very well cast. And he's talking in like nerd jargon to which Sean and Gus have no idea what he's saying. But basically tells them like,
well, this was before Photoshop was a real thing where everybody knew what a pixel was.
Yeah. So he's pretty much saying like this part of the photo is fake. But yeah. This part of the photo is here real. Is real. And I, you know, I
which is the key piece of evidence.
Yes. Yes. I understand. And I'm not arguing that because, again, that's a great driver and plot point to this episode.
Not for you, though.
Well,
I'm just giving you shit.
Billy, I'm drinking. It's not a good time to give me shit.
Fair enough.
So then we go back to Henry's, right? And so this is, again, she's, you know, Henry's sort of just showing around the house, you know, they're walking down the hallway and you see like 1,000 hand turkeys, which have a bunch of in our house, right? Cause Violet made those in preschool and in kindergarten, which are adorable as hell. And she goes, oh, this one's great, especially for a toddler. And Henry just goes,
I think he doesn't even say like Thanksgiving. I think he says legit, like that was last week.
Yeah, something like that, which was tremendous. Because I love the idea that Sean is just making hand turkeys for dad.
All the time.
All the time. And his dad is framing them and hanging them on the wall. Right? It's a great like mental image. And then we're back at the station. So now Jules wants to believe her. Lassie's still not convinced. And again, we get just more great acting here from Jules.
Yeah, this is the best Jules episode, not ever. Definitely, she's been great in all the Yang ones, but you know, her portrayal, her conviction to Lassie in this moment, really, I think, I don't think he's ever sold necessarily, but it definitely sells you as the viewer a little bit.
Yeah. So then we're back to Henry's. And this is where this is the, maybe the first time in the episode where we start to get a little bit of stakes, which is atypical for a Yang episode, because usually the stakes are high right from the rip. And we're at Henry's sort of laying on the couch. He's kind of dozing off there. He hears a noise, goes outside, hears another noise, runs upstairs, and Allison is missing. So I'd like to believe that no one gets to drop on Henry fucking Spencer, because I got to tell you something.
That's William, you, buddy.
That's me. I am he is me. You know, we are we. We're the grapples. And, you know.
Gotta be the same fruit.
You gotta be the same fruit. But again, I love this. It's again, this is, we haven't gotten a lot of Henry in this season. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it here, because he's emotionally all in. And what I did enjoy about this too, is that Allison's gone, but I love the use. One of the things they've always been creative at is using that yin yang symbol, like in the first
episode
with the rocks. I think in the second episode, is it fire? I can't remember what it was in the second one, but this, like, it's carved.
Oh, it's, I thought it's the lady who's laid out in the,
yes. Stone. Yes, 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 yes. And then this one, it's sort of carved into a sheet. So it actually looks really cool. And we get that classic yin yang score here. And I really like that visual. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. And then the scene that follows is fantastic, because we get, you know, the launching of, they have to go back and get Yang.
Yeah, they got to resort to the big guns here, because guess what? This is where normally we'd get Mary stepping in, right? Mm-hmm. And giving his insight and giving his thoughts and sort of leading us down, you know, that path. But, you know, he did. RIP, pour one out. So they got to go to the next best source they have, which is Yang. And I love this. This is one of my favorite scenes. And we'll detail this in a little more when we get to it. But they go to the psych ward, and she's sort of getting walked over, and Sean just looks up. He goes, "Looks like someone was a bad girl and raided
Mama's closet."
It was absolutely fantastic.
It's for her self-esteem, man.
Yeah. Do you think I look pretty? It depends how far along you are in that program.
That's a fucking great line, isn't it?
Gus was sneaky good. Gus did not have a lot to do in this episode.
No, which is weird, because the last episode, like, I thought was like one of the more evenly balanced episodes.
Yeah. And but that line, with his interaction with Yang in this scene, I thought was fantastic. But what I love here too is that, you know, Yang just refuses to give them the info. Now she's playing a little coy. She wants in on the investigation. And like I said, because we don't have Mary, we need that character that can get inside the mind and sort of help Sean navigate the clues to solving the case. So she uses that to get in on it. And man, that was a great choice for this episode.
And you know what's funny too, now the more that I think of it, she really is like she is in this one, the Randy from Scary Movie, but also the Randy from 1 and 2. Is there like a name for that? I should know, like in cinema, TV, movies, like the know-it-all, like the book smart kid, like basically what Gus is in every episode, but they extend it in this trilogy,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yep,
there's got to be a name on like in the biz.
Yeah, we'll look that up, because you know we like having, you know, the good knowledge there. So this was another scene that I enjoyed here. So we're back at Henry's now, and Henry is like, you can tell he's mad, he's upset, you know, he's worried. So he's like, he's trying to find a picture with Sean wearing this particular shirt that he's wearing in this picture with Yang. And what I like about this is that we know that, like, Sean gets a lot of his, eidetic memory from his mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we ever realize how much of it he also gets from Henry. Because Henry's recall is also pretty damn good. Like,
well, he has a photogenic memory and his mom has an eidetic memory.
Right. And so it's played really well here, because they don't play that up a lot. You know, it's mostly just Henry being a detective, but him going, I know every picture I've ever taken of Sean, and he's going through them all. He's like, I can't find this shirt. And he goes, I know he stopped wearing shirts with brand names after his ninth birthday because he didn't want to promote products without being paid for it. If that's not the most Sean Spencer thing in the world, I don't know what is.
I also love that, like, the mother's like, how do you remember that?
Yeah. He's just like, because he didn't want to promote product without getting paid for it.
Oh,
like,
God.
Oh, it was fucking great. But again, like, they're using this photo as a driver, which, you know, leads, you know, into that flashback scene at the beginning. And I think the payoff ultimately it was worth it, right? And and so we get Maddie, Sean's mom. She shows up because, you know, she'd been talking to Henry and she's not going to stand idly by. I guess I know what her purpose was, but, you know, they didn't really need her. She was just kind of there. But I think they just wanted to get everyone together to sort of, you know, close this out and see this out. And then they bring Yang to Henry's house and her in Sean's room. This whole scene with her, again, excellent.
Yeah, because when she breaks it down, you know, Lassie doesn't want her there. They all kind of need her there. And I also love when Sean calls for the favor, smallish favor, to bring the, you know, serial killer into his room. And then, you know, they go into the whole, everybody loves and all those shows, the breakdown of how he abducted her, how he got into the room, why he took her, why she's special. So you get a lot of little things here, and you find out that he's definitely going to kill her, the girl's special, but also he didn't leave anything. And she points out that sometimes it's not what the, I almost called her the unsub.
Unknown subject, baby.
But like they even say in those shows, sometimes it's not what the perp did, it's what he didn't do. And in this case, it's not what did he leave? It's what did he take?
Yeah. No, it's not what he took. It's what he left behind. Yes. Right. So he didn't take anything. And I thought this was
no, he great. Did take some. He took two albums.
Oh, right. You're right.
Normally
right.
He leaves something behind.
Right. Because I was thinking of the way that he sort of manipulated the army men, right? So he used Sean's army men to point to the albums. And so Sean's going through his albums and he's like, Meet is Murder by the Smiths is missing. And then whatever Van Halen album was missing that had Hot for Teacher Hot on for it. Teacher, yeah. So he's running through the song titles looking for clues. And it's Hot for Teacher. And I forget what the... Meet is Murder. No, I can't remember the song.
No, it's Meet is Murder.
That's the album, but there was a song. Whatever. But he takes the clues from the songs from those albums, and he goes, teacher? Is it maybe her teacher? Which sort of leads them to the next place. But before we get to that, one thing here I loved is Sean's going through the order of his album, and Jules is reading off the albums, and she goes, what order is this? Without batting an eyelash, he goes, Sweetness. Right. And I love one of the things I love about Psych is sort of like Sean's affinity for like all things 80s, whether it be movies or music. So this is a great way to sort of play into that a little bit.
And yeah, I love because good band dropping names there.
Yeah. And Ally Sheedy being, you know, in all of those Hughes movies of the 80s, she's getting in on the 80s stuff as well, which I thought was a great little bit here. And I love too, like this entire scene when she's in the room, she's being really coy and not really being useful at all. And the last he goes, okay, start talking or it's back to the rubber room. And Gus goes, what does he think? This is Shutter Island?
Oh, what is the other movie they say?
That or Tootsie?
Tootsie. That was great.
and then she says, okay, don't get your 50s boxers in a bunch, which was great. Just sort of, you know, labeling Lassie as a cranky old man. I can relate. So I love. Oh, and then when she said something about like it's not, you know, something they take, something he's left behind. And Sean, I don't know why Sean said, what could this possibly have to do with Barbara Streisand?
I'll just remember the way things were.
Oh, right. Oh, because Henry said that. So yeah. I was like, oh, that's that's fucking great. But the clue, like I said a second ago, leads them to Sean thinking, okay, it's got maybe something to do with her teacher. She happens to be enrolled at the local college. So that's where we go. And we get a great little bit here where Sean's like, they're in a panic. And he's like, a Simoleon building, lecture hall C, where is it? And then right behind him, it says Simoleon Hall. And the guy, the fucking kid goes, are you kidding?
I've always wanted to see, because it's like he's doing the whole Save Ferris thing, which I think is hysterical. But I've always wanted to see if there were any more hidden references of Ferris Bueller, because I'm sure there are, like, I'm sure the hall is like some reference to Simone or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's probably a bunch of hidden references. So I'll have to watch Ferris again soon.
And then I love this. It's, again, it's a throwaway line as they're running towards the classroom. The kid just yells, if you've hit lecture hall D, you've gone too far. Because they need to get to lecture hall C. And it's the next. So it just, I don't know why that just fucking
killed it's always me. That's a tickler.
Yeah. So they get to the classroom and they accost the teacher right away. And he's like, whoa, that's not my name. I'm just a substitute. Right. And I like this because, again, one of the things that I love about the first two Yang episodes is the clues. It's the cat and mouse aspect. Right. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of that. We don't get a ton of that here. Right, we get the first one in the scene before, and we get the second one here. And so the teacher, you know, they're going through his work and they're reading it, and it's like girl gets kidnapped, blah, 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 blah. So he's pretty much like reading a synopsis of the case, and they're looking at him, they're like, what the fuck is this? And he goes, oh, that's just an exercise where we give the students a basic story outline, but they've got to fill in the parts.
They gotta write the ending. The ending always has to be the same. It's a real bummer. Ending, the girl dies.
Right. So, like, holy shit, right? So I thought that was really creative, and I like the idea of that, because, again, that's that sort of long con that we're used to with this yin-yang stuff.
I thought that was, like, a pretty exceptional little throw in there, because he probably had, like, a million of those type of assignments, like, ready to go. You find out he's, like, a pretty prepared dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was I enjoyed that a lot. And so they get to the dean or whatever, and he's like, yeah, he actually hasn't been in for a week. He just stopped coming in. We've tried calling him, can't get a hold of him. So they ask for his information. They go, this is the only address we have for him. And so again, so we've gotten a bunch of references, and we'll list them all at the end here, but like they're playing upon a lot of these thriller type movies, and what they're doing here is it's a play on Seven, where that the address that is given to them, we find out, leads them to an empty field, an open field with a box, but inside the box is not a head. I don't want to ruin it for Bertsky. He may one day watch the movie Seven, so I don't want to spoil it for him, but inside the box is not a head but a videotape. And so now we're back at Henry's.
He's never seen Seven. That's a must, much watch.
Bert's not watched anything, right? Unless it's on Pornhub or Brazzers, I don't think Bert's seen it. Maybe he's watched a Seven porn parody, but you know, I don't think he's seen Seven. We're back at Henry's house. You know, him and Maddie, again, are combing through the pictures. They're trying to find this picture. They show up. They said, we got this videotape. This is where we're supposed to find this. They go up to Sean's room because, of course, he still has a VCR. They pop it in. And guess who it is? Mary Lightly. He's on the video. Yeah. We get Mary's video diaries. And this is a comedic tour de force, William.
Oh, absolutely. This is his best, like, I don't want to say it's his best showing because he's amazing in every other episode, but, like, I always find it funny when they do the found footage stuff. I'm like, he just killed.
Yeah, so they pop it in, and it's real grainy, and then, boom, we see Mary, and he goes, this is my video diaries. This will be a lot of my thoughts and ideas and personal poetry, right? And then this is where it cuts, and then comes back. And he goes, what's the deal with One Tree Hill? It's like a poorly executed Dawson's Creek. Don't get me started. And so how many times have they mentioned Chad Michael Murray? It's got to be like
a few. Time. The Children of the Corn, Chad Michael Murray. Some people are just born evil. So you know that's a thing that like he must not like.
Well, that or they're like really good friends and he just wants to like.
I don't imagine anyone who ever worked on this show would being be friends with Chad Michael Murray.
Facts.
I think that would be an affront to their character, Doc, and I honestly think they would be mad.
Would it ruin the show? Fun fact, friend of the show, And fellow podcaster Nessel of the Jabberknocker podcast told me the other day that him and his wife started watching Psych.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're enjoying it. They're halfway through season one. We get more found footage and Gus just looks at Sean. He goes, is he wearing a monkey ascot? And Sean just goes, a Munscot. And now we're getting some of Mary's poetry. A tickle of a good friend's nose and a tum-tum filled with SpaghettiOs.
He really is an utter delight.
He really is.
Because I love the non-sequitur stuff and all of those things, too. And, like, they nail that, too.
Yeah. And then I may be loopy on too much string cheese. But we actually get something, you know, very useful here. Where he's, you know, because this last bit was filmed just 2 days before he died. And he says, I don't think Yang is a killer. I think she's a victim and not the aggressor. Or not she, but just saying Yang is a victim and not the aggressor. So that's a nice little wrinkle here. And that really comes, you know, to fruition, you know, at the end of this episode. And the last thing he says was, I think CGI has ruined movie storytelling for all of us. I don't want to say it's Michael Bay's fault.
But he has to be stopped because it's his fault.
Because it's all his fault. And then he's wearing a onesie, which is hilarious. And then the video abruptly cuts to Allison shackled, handcuffed to a lally column in a basement. So now it's gotten real because they were supposed to find this videotape. It's Mary's diary. He's given them a bunch of info, but it's also used to up the stakes and up the ante of the episode.
Yeah, and which it does pretty quickly because they know now that the girl is in real trouble and they got to go find her. So it's a nice plot device. And again, the setup for that scene, the execution of all that stuff is, I think it's the highlight of the episode. So
yeah, I would agree with you. And then what we also get here too is that there's this random box. Sean's mother opens it up. She goes, oh, these are some photos I took with that camera that you bought me.
Or whatever it is.
Yeah. And, you know, you must have just put them in the box and never given them a second's thought. And they're going through the photos and boom, there is the photo that the Photoshop came from, the original photo of Sean with Yang. And Henry's like, what the fuck? You know? And she's like, you know, well, you know, I remember Sean was out late. It was a rainy day. He was on his bike you know, I found him and he was talking to this woman and she was just like, you know, she was just gushing about Sean and I felt bad for her and she wanted her picture with him. So I took it. And it's like, holy shit, that's really fucking weird. But again, this is where we get that payoff from the flashback in the beginning, why that photo was so important, you know, from the get go. And then they recognize one of the houses in the background as being a house that's just a couple of streets over. And that must be where Allison is. And that's what sort of leads us to the climax, you know, of the episode.
Yeah, and it's pretty good. Sean and Gus get there quickly. Lassie and Jules are really not hot on the trail. They take a little while to get in there. But either way, you know, Sean and Gus get the note that they have to go in to save the girl. They get into the house and I don't know about you, but the first time I saw this, at this point, I figured out Allison was in on it. I never do that. That's not like a brag. I'm not good at it. But like at this point, I knew she was in on it, so I wasn't surprised when she turned.
Yeah, so I had a feeling she was way before. But that's cynical, not fun, Doc, you know, watching this particular episode. But what I loved about it too was this is what I think where we get a lot of James Roday's writing shines in this part of the episode here, because you know Sean notices that the flag is up on the mailbox. Inside it is, you know, come on in, wipe your feet, bop 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 bop. They walk into the door, and then this is where we get the most suspenseful stuff of the episode. This is where Roday always excels at. They walk in the door, boom, 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 boom. Everything closed. One of the albums, the Smiths, that was stolen, is playing on the record. And then the phone conversation that Sean's mom had with Henry is being played. And Sean's like, she must have tapped dad's phones, bop, 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 bop. And then you know, they find Allison. This is where we sort of get the reveal, you know, we get part of the reveal, where she's like, yep, I'm a bad guy. She's holding a shotgun. She leads them upstairs to the house to meet Yin. And this is where we finally get face to face. We get to see who Yin really is. And it's fucking RoboCop, baby.
And he has like a big, like, and he uses the word, but it's a perfect word for him. He has a folksy reveal.
Yeah.
When he does it, he's like, what do you think? And like, it's a very, he's wearing almost like a Joker like type suit. He's very dramatic, over the top. It does fit very well in this world. Wasn't what I was originally expecting. I think at the time I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But now that I know what it is and know when it's coming, I kind of enjoy what it was. Obviously, most serial killers aren't as jokery as this guy. And it was weird that they went with this selection, too, because the other ones had been so serious. Like, the way he fucking looked at the water, like, when Abigail was there, like, he looked like he was ready to murder people in that, like, fucking scuba outfit. So, I thought it was odd originally they went with him and being so goofy. But it works out.
Yeah, I think it fits because even though he's sort of foppish in his... Right, with his actions and his appearance, he still gives off that vibe as being very cerebral and maniacal. So we get Sean and Gus. They're sitting in chairs. They're they're cuffed to him, and for the first time in this episode, we're just about done here. The stakes are fucking real, because he's gonna kill them, right? And he's pulling out this cocktail of strychnine and cyanide and whatever. That he's going to eject into Gus. And I loved Gus here because Gus is like, can you tell me what's in there? I want to know what's going in my body before I die.
And do you only have one needle?
Yeah. And this was great because...
They make reference to his history driving around like the country, like, you know, with the Wienermobile and whatnot.
Yeah. Because Sean's like, what makes you think I'm unclean? And he goes, you drove halfway across the country on a motorcycle with a t-shirt that said... like pucker up and blow.
Yeah.
And he goes, but it was a little tuba with lips. He goes, they were human lips, Sean. Right. Which was just great because that's exactly the kind of shirt, again, I'd imagine Sean Spencer wearing.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, like, I just thought, like, Peter Weller, like, his over-the-top acting, fit really well, and he interacted with both of them. And again, he was very folksy, he was very foppish, but he still gave off that sort of cerebral, maniacal, you know, vibe. But now, you know, they need to find a way in. I love this. Henry is literally like, he takes his shirt off, he wraps his in his hand, he tries to punch through the window to get in, but it's grated, like, it, you know, it's still grates there, he can't get in. So, again, they bring back Yang. To see if there's a way to get in. She's like, yeah, there's a storm drain, but I'll only go in if Jules comes with me.
Yeah, which is a nice little move to get her involved. I think this is something that, you know, I don't know. Do police departments do this?
No, I don't think so. But you gotta, as I spent almost this entire show criticizing the plot holes, I'm about to contradict myself by sometimes.
I mean, they do it disbelief. In the BAU every once in a while. I mean, it's not unheard of. But I always was like, that can't be something they actually fucking let him do.
Right. Speaking of the BAU, big fan of Prentice.
Oh, absolutely. Right? She's in that community, too. I absolutely love her.
Yeah. Great. Anyways, so she you know, helps Jules get in. And this I thought this was great because, again, Ally Sheedy is just her chemistry with everyone is fantastic. And this is the first time that we get a character out, you know, outside of Sean, outside of Gus, that knows about the relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And she's Sean Spencer has taken a lover, but she's like, she knows that Sean and Jules are a thing, and she uses that to her advantage because it catches Jules off guard, and she's able to escape, you know, and kind of navigate her way through the house, leaving Jules by herself.
I kind of love how Jules was just like, all right, see ya. Just like, so, you kind of forget that part that she just was like, all right. And then she finds Allison. So
yeah,
it's a quick left turn. But either way, it was just like, she was like, all right. She's
yeah. Gone. Yeah. A very quick left. But it was a great plot device because it paid off at the end. So now Jules is going through the house and she turns a corner and she sees Allison holding a shotgun. Mm-hmm. And she's like, the fuck are you doing? And she's like, oh, I tried to escape. And so Jules was great here. She's like, okay, come follow me. Let's, you know, I know a way out. And then she corners her like a fucking rabid.
Do you think she knew, or I think she figured it out on the way though.
I think she knew because the evidence that she throws back in her face happened like on the spot.
Yeah, but it took her I always like thought of it as she was figuring it out as she went down the stairs. Like,
that is
true.
Wait
a minute.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can believe it either way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But when she gets you down the basement, she confronts her and she's like, how did you know Sean and Gus here if you just woke up from being knocked the fuck out? And like, she's like, okay, you got me. and then they beat the fucking bag out of each other.
Yeah.
I love this because Jules was in desperate need of redemption in this story arc to kind of, again, bring it close. And she, I mean, like I said, she absolutely beats the fucking bag out of her. And I love it. And so after we get that, it cuts to more, you know, Peter Weller's with Sean and Gus, and he's about to inject Gus, and they do the whole, like, this whole bit like they do in The Simpsons, when Bart Sacha has
Bob when he's Sacha Stalin.
The HS Pinafore, right? Sings the entire, musical, the Stahl. And so they do that here.
But never. No, never.
No, never.
Hardly ever.
I love that because all three of them are singing. It's great. I'm going to watch that before I go to bed tonight.
It's my favorite episode.
And so the stalling works because you get a hi, daddy. Mm-hmm. And everyone, and Sean and Gus just go, daddy. And this reveal in this moment, I think, really is the moment of the episode. Like, we loved the psych ward stuff. We loved the Mary Lightly stuff. But this, that reveal in that moment, because, like, they always had hinted at, you know, there's a partner. There's two of them. So you think it's just, you know, partners in crime here. You never thought that, it was her fucking father, right? And I thought this was great. And I loved it because she's just like, so, daddy, did you read my book? And he goes, no, I didn't read your book. I was mad at you.
It's fucking great. And he's like a child too. And yeah. Another thing you learn from watching the people at the BAU is that serial killers aren't really necessarily formed a lot of the times. They're kind of born. So not only was Yang born to a serial killer, but it raised her. And like, she had no shot. So even though she may or may not have murdered people, like, you know, Lightly gives the pretty good explanation that she may just be a pawn. Like, you feel for her even more in this scenario, which I thought was a nice touch of the episode.
Yeah, because it brings her story arc full circle, too, and she gets redemption because she, you know, begs and pleads for forgiveness, you know.
Daddy.
And yeah, and as he brings her in for an embrace to you can come back, she grabs the needle and fucking stabs him.
It's right? Awesome. I loved that. I really, really enjoyed that.
Because, like, while I may not have ever believed Allison throughout this episode and saw that coming, I never saw this coming. Right?
No.
I didn't see that reveal coming, and I didn't see her fucking capping his ass, you know, at the end of the episode like that. Because she says afterwards, as she's being, you know, put back into the police car, she says, Sean goes to her, you never killed anyone, did you? She says, no, but I could have stopped him, but I was too weak. And she wasn't weak in that moment.
No.
Right? Yeah. She and I thought that was great storytelling. That was great writing. That was, again, everything like just coming full circle. And I thought that was a great way. Like, overall, like, while this is my third favorite episode of the trilogy, I did think it was a very fitting way to end it.
Yeah, and that's also not saying like anything awful, right? Like, it's an amazing accomplishment, all these three leading to this and then even into a movie plot. To say this is the third best one, yeah, it's clearly number three, but it's not because it's a bad episode, you know.
No, not at all. And my nitpicks aside, I still enjoyed it, right?
Absolutely.
It's not like we've seen far worse psych episodes, and they're few and far between. We could probably count them on three fingers, right?
Yeah.
But like the first
a shop two, teacher's hand, if you will.
Exactly. And while like I think the first Yang episode is as close to perfection as there is for psych, the second episode was great, and this one was just missing something a little. Like we didn't have as many, clues. That cat and mouse game was missing, just a bit.
It was just Jerry running around in the wife's panty drawers sniffing underwear.
I love you, Billy.
They worked together 24/7 in the cartoon. might be the best use I've ever had of him, and I think you should leave fucking reference. That was fucking great.
Speaking of which, I believe that's next month's trivia.
Yes, sir.
You're in?
I am in. I've decided if you want, by the way, how should I put this? If you want, you can decide, but I want to do because I'm going to have so many friends that want to go.
Yeah.
But where the regular trivia is, I'm going to give you the see how many people you bring, and then you can pick the other people I nominate as tribute.
Okay. Well, we'll figure it out, because I think other Billy D is trying to find a way to make the flaps on the fedoras.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah.
He's going to get a fedora and fucking stick something in the back of it.
Well, yeah, but he's got to get the fedoras, and but it's Stanzos. They're quality.
They're nice.
I've got two boxes here. Two massive boxes of Mac and Goo pens. The good pens.
Ooh, do they know?
They know.
Oh.
They know. I had them made special. Made them nice. They're quality.
You got a pen guy.
I do. I got a pen guy. I had TLDR ones made too. And I'll have to get some. I've heard it both ways once as well. I can only ask for so many at a time.
Yeah.
Don't want to be a mooch.
Yeah. Nobody likes a mooch.
We've got Alison Crowley as the Who in this episode, but we also have Peter Weller as Yin as the Who as well. The How, not nearly as elaborate as previous episodes.
No.
And the Why, Yin needs to finish what he started and sort of pass the baton on to Alison because he is mad at his daughter for writing that book. So that is the episode in the nutshell. But I think the second biggest thing that happens in this episode is
which I forgot scene. About.
Me too, 100%, completely. Because
I think it always starts just at the beginning of that next season.
Yeah, right. Because you watch the first episode of season six, and it's Lassie. The whole episode is trying to get Jules and Sean to admit that they're a couple, and you're like, okay, it kind of fits, but you forget why Lassie's obsessed with it.
But even still, you don't see any clear actual 100% evidence. It's just a really strong lead.
Yeah.
Because they don't kiss. There's just I'm with you now, you're with me. So it's very him making an educated guess.
Right. And so whenever I watch that episode, because I don't necessarily always rewatch this and then immediately going, if I'm watching Sean versus Darth Vader, I'm just starting there.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And over the year, you would think as much time as I've watched this episode, I remember that, but I don't. So the end scene here is Sean consoling Jules because it's a big weight off her shoulders, but it was also a very traumatic event for her. And she's having a hard time writing her statement, writing her report, to close the case. And Sean's just I'm here for you. I'll always be here for you. I may not look intimidating at first glance, but I have the tenacity of a Swiss fox and the instincts of a dragonfly.
Oh my God.
Right. Which was, she goes, that's a squirrel and,
an insect.
He goes, yes, that's why I chose them. But as he's consoling her and they're talking about each other, and Sean even gives her, a kiss on the hand.
Oh, he does kiss her on the lips. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You see, there's just that quick little pan to the other side of the glass, and you see Lassie, and his fucking jaw is on the floor,
Yeah, fuck. He's shook.
Yeah. And which really, I think now that I remember this scene, elevates episode one of the next season a little bit more, because it gives better context as to why Lassie's up their ass about it.
Also, this is the biggest plot hole, because they did it in front of the fucking open window.
Yeah. Like,
they should know better than that. Come on.
They should know better than that. But this is where I'll play you in this scenario, is that I think that in the heat of the moment, especially with all the stakes and the closure of everything, mm-hmm. I think like it's easy to kind of forget where you are. Mm-hmm. Right. And that thing. So like that didn't bug me nearly as much as some of the other things. But even with all that, I still thought this was a pretty damn good episode.
Oh, absolutely. This was one of the, you know, maybe not the top five of the season, but it'll be in the meaty part of our curve somewhere around, so. You know, the middling episodes, maybe above like the middle tier there. But either way, it was the third best Yang. But again, that's not a total disservice to the episode anyways. But I have fun every time I watch it. I don't necessarily go back and watch this often. I don't really watch any of the Yang ones often, just when I'm in a rewatch usually, because I don't care for them as much. I remember when I made my original like 15 or top 20 of this show before we did the podcast, but we knew each other on Twitter. I didn't have any of the trilogy in my top like 10 or 20, and like people were like, why? And I'm like, I just like the Psyche episodes more, I guess.
Yeah, I think you have to separate these three episodes as their own thing, right?
Yeah.
Because there, as much as I think the first Yang is close to a perfect piece of just television, period.
Oh, it really is.
You got to separate it, because Psyche, as it is, you know, it's a character of its own. It's a thing of its own. And these three episodes are a departure from the classic Psych model of why we love the show, right? Because it's not heavy on the comedy, even though there's some great one-liners. Mary Lightly does bring a lot of levity to it, but it's not your traditional Psych show. So you almost kind of have to like, all right, take these three episodes, pull them out, you know, set them aside, judge them as their own thing, and then view, you know, the rest of the episodes that way. Because I'd agree, like, I might have the first Yang maybe in a top 20 if I'm making a list, but I wouldn't have two or three in a top 20 or even maybe a top 25. But
I mean, now I might have it in a top 20 after, like, the, you know, us reviewing it and giving it more weight. But I know what you mean. Like, it would be, like, yeah, toward the tail end if in there.
Yeah, right. With that said, oh, one last thing about the end scene too. Mm-hmm. We're running long today, Billy. We had a lot of fun here. I loved Lassie here putting on a brave face for our boy there, Detective Doofus Buzz. and like, you know,
said the same thing in my eHarmony profile, so it's got to be true.
And he goes, "Man, how do you're like a robot?" And he goes, "Thank you." That's what it says on my eHarmony page. I just thought that was great. And then, but what was I thought was really good too was, and after Buzz walks away, Lassie says to walk down the stairs, and he just kind of heaves a big sigh, right? Like, mm-hmm. you could tell, like, this really did affect everyone. So, Billy, as we start to wrap things up here, take us into the Thundercats hole, baby.
Keep tonight.
You're red hot.
Megan and I did this to each other the other day. It was fantastic. Yep. Bert, if you're still in here, brother, Bert Skeet Skeet. Happy birthday, brother.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to our guy, Bert.
Yeah. And Cram, DJ Mac, that is a real fire. It's a fire hazard in Billy's apartment there. You should probably put that thing out. Mm-hmm. So, most memorable moments. You know, we've mentioned it, you know, plenty of times throughout this. Anytime Yin is on the screen, you know, he's just there to flash his folksy smile. I love this little back and forth. He was like, you know, I chose to indulge the crazies. I like to buy stereotypes at every turn. I never jumped on the frozen yogurt train.
That's pretty good. It, like, his folksiness and goofiness worked enough.
Yeah. Why did you choose me in the first place? He goes, because you were pretty good. You were interesting and you had a black sidekick.
Felt fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's my favorite thing too. Like, it's just like he casually drops in, like, it felt fun. Like, that's one of my favorite things to say after you say something so, like, stupid, like, or like kind of like wrong, just be like, eh, it felt fun.
Fun, you know. I didn't even know who you were until you started doing this shtick, which I just thought was a great callback. But I also love here too. This is where we get the, like, it was never him. Like, he never fixated on Shot. It was always Yang.
Yeah.
In her obsession with him and wanting, I think, to have a normal family because her father was so fucked up. You know, the psych ward here, you know, with her, and she's like, I'm no longer a threat to myself or others, except that fat bitch at the cafeteria that can't comprehend the full the concept full of scoop. A full scoop of mashed potatoes.
Love it.
Yeah, because I know what that's like. Give me the fucking full scoop, lady. You know,
I always say generous.
Yeah, generous. No, me hosting The View and making out with Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
She was really good. She's always good.
Yeah, on point. Mary, we already talked about that scene, you know, ad nauseum. Absolutely loved it. And then again, the final reveal, you know, ending with Yang, but also the reveal with Lassie catching Sean and Jules. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, I mean, I just highlight the Mary scene again. He is so good in that. The thing that I did for the open but forgot the episode in the season two times in a row. That whole, don't even get me started. It's too late. I'm going to go in. Like, the way he, like, rocks back and forth in the chair. You just, like, you didn't know you were watching the future star that is, you know, Jimmy Simpson.
Right. Absolutely fantastic. For me, the least favorite moment was just about any time Alison Crowley was on the screen.
Which was a good chunk of the episode.
Yeah, well, yeah, but even the stuff, even when she was in a scene, some of the stuff around her was fine, but I did not care for her, her character, and the way it was portrayed. Favorite character for you, William?
You know what? I'm going to let you have this because it was a great idea. I'm going to go with Yang. I thought, you know, she plays her character really well, even though I think she meets her maker in the musical episode, but I think that's four appearances in this like little mini franchise, the trilogy here and in Psych, and this might have been her best one.
Yeah, oh, hands down.
She was barely in the first one.
Yeah, she was used sparingly. But she was great in this. I thought of her, but for me it was between Mary Lightly and Yin, but for me it was Mary. That one 2 minute scene with just the snippets of him reading his poetry, tum tum full of SpaghettiOs, the onesie, the month sky, everything about it. Just
he has dead eyes.
He has dead eyes.
It's like a poorly executed Dawson's Creek. Why would they do like the the passion in his asking is what gets me.
Don't get me started. The pause. Okay, I'm
gonna too late. I'm gonna go in.
Yeah, loved it. It was just sheer perfection. Couple quick quotes here. I've got a laser disc and Gus still has a light bright, you know, when they're talking about Sean still having a VCR. This was just a little throwaway scene, but at the end, Sean goes, Gus is in the car, engine on, wheels pointed towards pancakes.
I love that. I'm stealing that.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing. Like, what do you want to do this morning? Engines on, wheels pointed towards pancakes. Right, we're going to the Denim Diner, baby. You know, I know I've been wearing these jeans for 7 months, right? Wow. Just classic.
Always classic. Shitting on his jeans, too. He's like, I got these jeans at a garage. Not a garage sale, a garage.
Right, yeah. As fashionable as Sean Spencer thinks he is, he really is not.
No.
So, Billy, my friend, let's wrap this thing up, baby.
Boom, boom, boom. Muffins.
I love go that. For a muffin right now. Oh. Not a ton here with sort of the running gags. Mm-mm. We do get Gus's nickname given to him by Yin when he calls him Don Cheadle Jr. Love that. Not a lot of other stuff. Henry, Father of the Year, Dick of the Year moment. I mean, he was
great stuff
all around. What he did with Allison, I thought he was very caring. You know, but also, you know, Henry gonna whoop some ass, you know, for his son always. As much shit as him. And I thought that was great. We did get a ton of references here.
Oh, absolutely.
Summer school reference, which they've referenced a ton in Psych. Barbara Streisand, The View, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, a box of Mars bars to you, Sean. Sesame Street, Perfect Strangers, Christy Swanson, Shutter Island, Tootsie, Seven. Silence of the Lambs, Michael Bay. There might have been a couple more, but those were a lot of really well-used references.
Do you know what the Grover's Crossing thing was?
No, and there was another one too. I didn't write down. I was like, I've got no fucking clue what that
is. I like how Sean went. Was that Sesame Street? Like, yeah. That's fucking fantastic.
It was.
I think it's just like an actual cemetery.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, I didn't know what that was. And I think there was one or two more that I didn't write down because it's like I got no fucking clue, and I'm not going to look that up right now. But pineapples, William, what's your score?
I think I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was writing mine down. You know, I was thinking somewhere between 6.5, 6.7, somewhere right in that range.
You know what?
I feel like
I talked myself up to a 6.75.
Yeah, okay. And I'll go 6.7 because you liked Alison Crowley just a bit more than I did. So that makes sense. Because I felt like 6.9, that's a little too close to the nice even 7 there, but not far off. Seems about right. So
not slacking off, not falling behind.
Meaty part of the curve, right where I like to live. So come on, son.
Come on, son. Get that body with that ball. Come on.
That's my brand, player. So Billy's going to be in Vegas next week, but so we're going to do what we do at the end of every season coming up. We're going to be recapping season 5, ranking all the episodes, talking about what we really love from the season, some of the things we didn't like from the season, and all of that. And we're going to have our friend of the show, good friend Jacob Morocco on to discuss that as well. So that'll be coming up not next week, but either the week after or somewhere soon. And then we're going to dive into season 6 and talk about starting off with a heater. The first two episodes of this season are something else, William. Yeah,
they are indeed. Two of your favorites, two of my favorites. A lot of good acting, a lot of good wood, man.
A lot of good. Oh, so much great Woody. The wood is tremendous, especially in what's the name of the second episode? It's
Last Night Gus.
Last Night Gus. When this is all said and done, Last Night Gus may go down as my favorite episode. Did you see a little Colombian run around with a hook for a hand?
It is. Oh,
it's not cocaine.
He just gives like a weird thumbs up, like a
Henry coming out of the hook. Goes, oh my God, was I with a woman of the night? And he's got a towel. He's all, hi, Karen.
And Henry Spencer, where are your pants?
Yeah, love it. Absolutely. I was, forget about it. It might be my favorite one of all time. But anyways, I can't believe that we've finished 5 seasons of the show, Billy.
Sure have.
It's going by a little too fast. I'm going to start prepping for either Sirens or Rizzoli Isles or Suits, whatever we may have planned next. But we still have a ways to go, thankfully. So I'm very excited for this season in particular because there are some dandies here. So before we sign off, Billy, where can the people find us?
You know, I vote Sirens first anyways, but damn right. They can find us wherever you find all of the podcasts on the hashtag Dork Shared Gooniverse page, or just anywhere you find your podcast. That is Magoo Dork. Those are the heavy hitters of the DSG. And then you have TLDR, No Slouch. And then that's Joe's other podcast. He has a co-host. His other podcast is Change My Mind. And then, you know, if we stream, somebody will tweet about it.
Yeah, that's right. So until next time, Billy, wait for it.
Frank says hi.
Click and we wait.